Hey, thanks for downloading the podcast. And remember, if you want to listen live, download the iHeartRadio app, download the TuneIn app, and just search for Fantasy Sports Radio Network, and you can listen to this program live. Also, if you want to watch the video of this podcast, check us out on YouTube, on Twitch, or on Periscope, and type in, you guessed it, Fantasy Sports Network. You'll find us there. Enjoy the show, and thanks for listening.
You're listening to the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
Fantasy Sports Today.
Here we go, folks. Saturday edition of FST. Thanks for joining us on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network, and happy Mother's Day to all of you out there. I know technically it's tomorrow, but we'll call it Mother's Day weekend, and we'll give specific shout-outs to our moms and wives and everything else later. Busy time of year. We got through kind of the doldrums of February, Joe, and early March. March Madness got us through the spring training session of baseball, and now we enter May, and we have a lot on the calendar. Baseball is obviously in full swing. We have the Preakness coming up soon. I'm going to Bethpage Black next Friday to watch Tiger and Jordan Spieth and Lefty and all these other guys.
Nice.
Play some golf at the PGA. Football, we're probably in a little bit of a downtrend as far as activity is concerned, the mini camps and, the kind of respite between OTAs. But it has picked up on the fantasy front. I'm actively in a dynasty draft. You and I participated in another mock draft to get a sense of how these rookies fare. And I'm going to make my pick live on air in the next hour.
Woo-hoo.
Since I'm live in my dynasty draft. It's an IDP dynasty draft league, so which way will I go? Offense, defense. I will set it all up for you. Let me know where my team is at and if you think the picks make sense or not. What am I missing? The NHL playoffs are ongoing. I know this isn't much of a hockey show, though the show that follows us from 11 to 2 is with Cam Stewart and George Kurtz, two hockey experts. But we don't spend a ton of time on the sport and on this particular show. But the NBA is dialed up another one last night, which is gold for talking heads like myself and Joe. And I'll bring in my co-host Joe Galina and say good morning to you and happy Mother's Day weekend to your wife, Fran.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you very much. How's it going? Like you said, the sports action never stops. You mentioned we might be in a little bit of a lull when it comes to football after the draft and all that. But still, there's news coming out all week. Looking forward to you making your pick later on.
Yeah, as am I. They're just a run of players that happened right before this pick, which bummed me out because I had targeted a couple of guys specifically. Three or four guys specifically, and they all went in the last six picks or so. It happens. So You got to pivot, and you just have to have a list ready to go. But as I said, the NBA dialed one up last night, and as I said to Joe Galina right before we got on air, I had a bunch of stuff to do yesterday, running around, visiting people, and I had to listen to some local sports radio, some national sports radio, and I heard a couple of guys saying that there's no way the Rockets are going to lose last night. And I'm just telling you, I had a feeling that the Warriors might do a little something last night, kind of shock the Rockets and realize that I think the Warriors understood going into last night's game that they don't want it to get to Game 7 either. Even though it's going to be a home game, they have every opportunity to win the game right there with Steph and Clay and Draymond, and KD is a massive loss. But this team has won championships without KD, and they're still an excellent team all the way around. Are the minutes going to get to the starters? Well, they haven't yet. And Steph Curry puts another stamp on his
second
career.
Second half, man.
Yeah, 33 points in the second half. He was brutal in the first half, but a lot of those shots were just short. He was just off. Balls rolling off the rim. He was cold. You know, he just wasn't getting going. And then in the second half, particularly the fourth quarter, Steph Curry just proves why he is one of the best players, really, of all time, and currently, you know, in that top discussion for top player in the league.
Yeah, and if you're going to be in that that discussion, you got to show up. It just the way he did last night in these type of games, and he basically just took over the second half. Him and Klay Thompson came on, and like I said, I mean, you know, looking at a guy like Derek Jeter, he always came through in the clutch, and like you mentioned, Curry always in the discussion as being one of the best players in the NBA. And if you're going to be in that kind of a consideration, you got to show up when your team needs you most.
He was 0 for 5, didn't score a point for the first 24 minutes of a postseason game for the first time in his career. And then had three fouls, and he had a sit. So it really was looking pretty bad. But through all of that, the Warriors were still in it. They never got way behind. They were down one after the first quarter, and it's tied at halftime. The Rockets take a 5-point lead into the fourth quarter and promptly get outscored by 10 in the fourth. They lose by 5. They're going home. Clearly a devastating loss for the Rockets. There were people that thought that, you know, last year they had that 0 for 27 in the deciding game. They were without Chris Paul. People thought this might be the year with the Warriors. You know, apparently this is the same thing, similar to me, to what happened with the Patriots. A lot of talk of the Warriors dynasty coming to an end. Kevin Durant is going to be leaving, which I believe he is. I think everybody believes that he's going to leave. And maybe it's New York, maybe it's L.A., who knows? It's up to KD. But I think there's a lot of, what's the phrase? The talk of my demise is greatly exaggerated.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that's where we're at with the Warriors. People are looking to blow them up because KD and maybe even Klay are going to be moving on, but it doesn't mean they're still not the best team. And I think you've seen, for the most part, Steve Kerr's influence on their professionalism. It doesn't mean that they're not individually professional, but Steve Kerr, obviously, he wasn't as good. He was a really good NBA player, a very good role player, and an excellent shooter. And it doesn't mean that he has to be as good a player as these guys to teach them how to keep things moving in the right direction. He can't coach KD as to how to be more, you know, as to what kind of player athletically he can be, but he can keep these guys together and manage personalities and make sure that they're focused on the task at hand, which is winning the game last night. Screw the fact that arguably our best player is out. I say arguably because the Steph Curry KD debate always swings back and forth. I would say KD, and I think most people would say KD is probably the second best player in the league or third best player, Kawhi, LeBron. But I just think that they showed their professionalism last night in a really significant way. Their best player that's on the court last night struggling, their best player on the team out, and they still come back and they win a game on the road and knock a team out, and a really good team in the Rockets.
Yeah, and I think the comparison to the Patriots seems like a really good one. I mean, this is a team that knows how to win, and, you know, they didn't want to, like you mentioned, I mean, why risk it, take it to a seventh game, get it done now, next series, right? They're probably going to get back KD, like you mentioned, DeMarcus Cousins probably coming back. So,
that's right.
I mean, they are going to be the favorite versus Denver or Portland?
Certainly.
Yeah.
It depends how heavy a favorite. I think Denver's going to pull this one off, but that's been a dogfight, that series, back and forth. We'll see how that one ends up. You know, we were deprived, I guess, of a third game seven, but we'll get them for Sixers-Raptors, and we'll get it for Denver-Blazers. So that'll be a lot of fun. The reports of my demise are greatly exaggerated. That's the word I was searching for. The reason I compared it to the Patriots is for this reason. Obviously, both ongoing dynasties, but more specifically in terms of the talk that we had a year ago. It was didn't happen before this Super Bowl. It happened before the previous Super Bowl, the one they lost to the Eagles. There was a lot of talk of infighting and the Jimmy G trade and Kraft and Belichick and Brady maybe not being on the same page. Maybe Kraft and Brady pitted against Belichick. Now, I actually do think, I do believe those reports that there's some tension there. But I said at the time, yes, I think there's tension, but I didn't think it would distract them from their ultimate goal. I think there is a level of accountability and professionalism that exists in that organization and the Warriors that supersedes all the nonsense. Draymond, what Draymond Green was doing to Kevin Durant on the court at the beginning of the year was actually exhibiting a lack of professionalism. And I thought it was uncalled for. And KD obviously thought it was uncalled for. And I think he just doesn't want to deal with it anymore, which is probably why he is going to move on. But it doesn't mean that he didn't play like one of the best players in the league and that they're not going to win another title. I think it's pretty apparent now that the Rockets were the top team that could knock them off. Now, do we have a Lakers situation in what's the year I'm looking for? 04, when the Pistons won. The Pistons were an inferior team, and Kobe and Shaq were sort of done with each other, and they didn't play up to anybody's expectations, and they lost. Like, could we see that with the Warriors? Possible, but I just don't see it.
Yeah, I mean, there have been plenty of teams over the years in many sports that may not have liked each other, you know, the individual parts, but, you know, when it came time to just, like you said, exuding professionalism, knowing how to win the game, you know, they just, you know, put their issues aside and just did what they had to do. So, you know, kudos here.
Yeah, these Warriors teams, the Patriots, and these aren't. I think there's other teams that had far more vitriol inside the locker room towards each other and clearly fell apart and or were able to win. You and I are longtime Yankees fans. Those late 70s Yankees teams, there were fistfights there.
Yeah.
Goose Gossage and Cliff Johnson. Broken thumb. In a fistfight in the
point.
Locker room.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
So, Billy Martin and Reggie Jackson, there was always drama there. And they were
Billy
able to
Martin
win.
And Ed Whitson. Didn't they get into Billy Martin and Ed Whitson in an elevator or something? They got into a fight or something?
Yeah, but that team didn't win anything.
I know.
But that team just fell apart. But yeah. But to your point, like I said, some teams hate each other and don't do anything. The Jaguars, this past season, Jalen Ramsey was kind of open about it, about how he was done with it. Brandon Marshall and, you know, all the Jay Cutler drama before they got rid of Brandon Marshall.
Mm-hmm.
There was all that kind of stuff. But the reality here is that I just think they're able to overcome it. The Patriots are able to overcome it. And you don't have to be best friends to get stuff done. And, you know, Draymond is a divisive character in that, you know, he's done some dirty stuff on the court. I think he lets his feelings be known to anybody and everybody that will listen. And I can understand in a working environment, whether it's basketball or not, where that would get old. I could understand that. And people might think KD's crazy to leave a situation like this. Maybe he is, but I'm not him. And I don't know how much he hates it. And maybe he doesn't like living there or he's just tired of dealing with that one guy. But I just appreciate the fact that they are, what we're watching is pretty amazing. They're on their way to a three-peat. Certainly more injuries can come and things can knock them off, but they're able to overcome something like that is pretty crazy. Boogie Cousins and KD just make them so much greater, but obviously they're in a position where I think that this was their greatest test of the postseason was up against the Rockets.
Yeah, and maybe, you know, to your point, maybe there's an expiration date on all this histrionics that KD has been having to deal with, you know, behind the scenes. And, you know, he has an opportunity to leave. You even mentioned the Knicks, man. If he comes to the Knicks and helps engineer, the resurgence of the Knicks to making them a, you know, perennial playoff team, you know, that's, all more for his reputation as a top player, no?
Yeah, of course. It is. And I think KD and Kyrie are a package deal. I think they're going to the Knicks or the Clippers, and that's about it. I think those are the options that you're looking at. I am concerned, obviously, that Kyrie is shown to be a malcontent, and the Celtics massively underperformed this year. I'm also a little concerned that the Knicks would get a version of KD that's a little older, and it's had a few injuries under his belt. So you're maybe not getting prime time for KD, but still one of the best players in the league, and they'll come back, and they'll be playing the winner of that at Game 7 tomorrow. So it's Mike and Joe. We're going to get back to baseball after this. Happy Mother's Day weekend. Sean Engel producing. Mike and Joe here for the next 3 hours on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Be right back with more FST.
From the NFL to the NBA, DailyRoto.com is the place to win millions in daily fantasy. You can get the best DFS NFL coverage all season long for a price of $129.99 or dominate the entire daily fantasy sports realm with the Elite Package at $59.99 per month. If you use the promo code FNTSY, you get 10% off your Daily Roto package. Go to DailyRoto.com, pick your NFL or Elite Package, enter promo code FNTSY, and you'll be on your way to becoming the next Daily Roto millionaire.
FST, Sean Engel, really bringing us in nice slow with some 80s stuff here. But happy Mother's Day weekend. Thanks for joining us on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. So if you want to hit us up on Twitter, please do so at FNTSY Radio. I'm at Mike Blewett. Joe is at Joe Galina. So MLB, Yanks with a big win last night. And unfortunately, Joe is trying to ruin my weekend because, truth be told, I had a lot going on yesterday. My mom was in the hospital this week. She appears to be fine, but I had to go over and visit her yesterday and was running around doing a lot of stuff related to that, spending some time in the hospital. Put the kids to bed last night and promptly fell asleep with the TV on 5 minutes after the kids went to bed. So I got myself a lot of sleep, which is why I may have a little bit more energy than usual. But safe to say, I missed a lot. I've been watching everything in highlights and reruns. But you tried to ruin my weekend by telling me that my ace, the Cy Young of the American League, Tyler Glasnow, pulled himself out of the game last night.
Yeah, I didn't mean to do that. I didn't expect it, you know, to take it so bad. But well, hopefully it's nothing too serious, but what ended up happening was Tyler Glasnow, who, like you said, has been pitching like a Cy Young in the AL for the Rays, basically motioned to the Tampa Bay Rays bench for them to come to the mound and made a couple of motions for them, and it didn't seem like the Rays bench didn't notice, and he was just like, screw it, you know, I'll just pitch. But then they realized, you know, that he was calling them out, and they rushed out, and he was taken out of the game, supposedly experiencing some forearm tightness. So we'll see what happens. The fact that he seemed to, be able to, he was going to just, you know, continue pitching, I guess is encouraging, but who knows, that might have been the last pitch he threw in a while if he had pitched, if he had thrown that pitch. But hopefully it's nothing major because, look, you know, I mean, I'm a Yankee fan and we're battling the Rays for first place, but still, you love the story of Tyler Glasnow and how he's been pitching lights out this season. So,
they traded for Austin Meadows and Tyler Glasnow.
Amazing,
I know they gave up
right?
Archer,
yeah.
But what a steal right now.
Yeah. And Meadows hit a home run last night. He was on the DL for a while. But Meadows, man, batting .359 on the season, 2-for-4 last night. So what a deal. What a deal that they got, the Rays.
Okay. Yeah. So why don't we start with that? So that was the big news. But on the flip side of things, as much as you're talking about Glasnow, one of the guys competing for him for the Cy Young right now, and I know it's very premature, and I'm just kidding about the awards. I actually don't really care about the awards, as I've said many times on this show. As you get older as a sports fan, I think the thing that fades the most easily, certainly did for me, and I know for many other people, is worrying about the awards. Because worrying about what other people are voting on and their opinions on the Hall of Fame or the Cy Young or the MVP will drive you nuts, and it's mostly ridiculous. Because the best players sometimes haven't won an award like that, and other guys just sort of sneak in and steal one in an odd voting year. So that kind of stuff is just silly, especially the manner in which baseball writers have taken stands against people. Do you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like,
yeah,
not putting guys in, and not just for PED reasons, but because they didn't like him. You know what I mean? They just didn't like a guy because he was mean to the media. That's dumb. It's a really stupid stance to take, and they wanted to exact their pound of flesh on guys over the years, be it Jim Rice or others. I'm sorry if I don't respect the vote totally. But Domingo Herman, five innings, maybe not his best outing, but he gets the win up to 7-1, Joe.
Yeah, and really, what could you say about this guy? I mean, just basically, when you needed him most with Luis Severino, you know, out, it looks like he's going to be out for a little bit longer than expected now. You know, it looks like well into July, and what he's done so far, 7 wins, 2.7 ERA, 5 Ks last night, gave up a couple of home runs. But, you know, when you talk about, you know, I think he's like top five in ERA in the AL, you know, and one of the guys on this Yankees team with all these injuries, you know, from the pitching side, from the offensive side, that have really made watching the Yankees this year so much fun. I mean, 23-15 on the season. My only concern with Domingo Herman is how many innings he's going to be able to pitch for the duration of the season. I mean, I think last year might have pitched a total of 90 innings. So the Yankees are very, very careful about, you know, managing their innings pitch. Remember the jobber rules from years back. So, you know, maybe in the middle of the season.
Jobber rules were a disaster, though.
Absolutely. Yeah, they really
so
were.
So I don't want to use that as a template for what to
hopefully
do.
They've moved on from that. Yes.
They, like, publicized the jobber rules, and then his next outing out there, I think they were playing the Blue Jays. The Blue Jays are like, all right, we're just going to take all day. Yeah. And Jabba was gone after, like, 2 2/3 because he had thrown, you know, 55 pitches or whatever. And it just didn't work. All right, so on Herman, if he pitched, I actually want to look up the exact number from last year, if I can get it. Forgive me for checking on air. 85 2/3 last year.
In the majors.
He's already up to 43. What would you put as a number for him where they're going to tap out? Is it 150? Is it 125? 125 would be a 50% increase.
Right. But 150 is the number that came to mind before you mentioned it. And I think that's being a little aggressive based on, you know, what we've seen from the Yankees organization in the past. You know, maybe they put a situation in place where maybe they use an opener, use him as an opener, you know, in the middle of the season. You would hate to see, you know, him, be limited in terms of, you know, when they need him most in the middle of the season. But let's say if Seve comes back, Luis Severino comes back in early August, maybe they might move Herman into, you know, a short middle relief role.
Yeah.
It's crazy to say, but you're going to want – this is a team that's expected to play, you know, into the playoffs and well into October, so you're going to need him. So,
yeah. So I say at 150, well, at 85 innings last year, it's 85 2/3 technically, but at 85 innings last year, a 75% increase puts him at 149. So that's a 75% bump if they get him up to 150. Mm-hmm. I would think it's more likely closer to 125. Because
would make
I think
sense.
125, even though it's a 50% increase, it's still a reasonable number if you're limiting somebody. But that's fast approaching. That would put him at 125 by, let's see, we're midway through May. So that's only 6 weeks into the season. So 12 weeks from now, right? Is that right?
Yeah.
12 weeks from now, that puts us at.
So we're talking August, right? Middle August?
Yeah. And so that's part one. So let's put that, let's frame that. And you're talking about Severino. Do you honestly expect anything from Severino this year?
I do. I'm not sure what we're going to get. Again.
But do you think he's going to come back and pitch?
I do.
Okay.
I do. But, you know, like I said, I don't know what we're going to get from him. Is he going to be the Severino of old? You know?
Right.
I think we just got some recent news that he's going to not going to return. They expected him to return before the All-Star break, and they changed that. So it is concerning, but I don't think it's season ending. But maybe I'm just being too optimistic.
Yeah, I have my concerns as to and I guess to clarify my point, I don't expect anything from him. But maybe more to what you're saying, he's going to come back and pitch, but I just can't really expect that it'll be any good. And maybe he'll come back and he'll feel like he's hurt again. What just concerns me about this stuff is like if he should have had surgery, but I don't even know this kind of thing where he needs surgery. Yeah. But does he need surgery? Should they have just done it back in April and on this season and see how he is for 2020? He's a long-term asset for them.
Absolutely.
That's reality.
Yeah.
So there's
gonna be interesting
the
trade deadline, man,
for 2019. Yeah, there's a lot of And Dallas Keuchel's still there, man.
Yes,
he's still there. And he's digging in. There's an article on for him earlier this week. He is digging in. He ain't going anywhere. He's gonna prorate what he thinks he's worth when whoever needs him needs him. But that might not happen for another month or so.
Yep, it's pride at this point, right? Yeah, I think Astros had offered him the just under $18 million back in December that he, you know, he didn't accept
for 1 year,
and the qualifying offer. So we'll see. And Gio Gonzalez, the guy who was the Yankees were toying around with in their minor league system that they released, he got his first win for the Brewers last night. But would not surprise me if Dallas Keuchel is a Yankee, you know, by midseason. But it's looking like June because we talked about it last week where they won't have to give up a compensatory pick or whatnot. So we'll see what happens.
Right.
But
he's
very proactive.
That seems to be the breaking point right now is not worrying about giving out a compensatory pick. And I actually think once that expires, that there'll be several teams looking at
Dallas absolutely.
Keuchel.
Yeah.
That's just really what it is right now. He knows it. That's why he's digging in. He's probably going to get the money that he's asking for prorated, granted, and he will have effectively given up some salary, but he wants to be paid at market value. He's on a prove-it deal for then 4 months, and then maybe he gets a 2 or 3 year deal after that. So I think the blueprint for Domingo Germán is what we saw last night. He threw five, not terribly effective last night, but he can throw five. Tommy Kahnle with a hold, Adam Ottavino with a hold, Zach Britton with a hold, and Aroldis Chapman slams the door. Collectively, they were scoreless. They gave up a few hits, a couple of walks. They had a collective 6 strikeouts. So that's the
Ottavino got out of a bases loaded, no out jam.
So crazy.
So that's
pretty crazy. But Ottavino's giving you some heartburn at a couple of points this season, but he's got 8 holds. The ERA remains low. And I think overall he's been a good addition. This is still the best bullpen in baseball, yes?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, absolutely. And it's been playing, it's been pitching very well over the past several games. And, you know, been another, I mean, there's so many reasons why the Yankees are as successful as they've been. Even with all the injuries, I think at 13 players on the IL at one point.
Yeah. Yep.
So everyone pitching in. We have to mention Gio Urshela.
I was
perfect
transition.
Oh, my goodness.
Not only has he been a godsend for the Yankees, he's actually been a valuable fantasy player.
Yeah, yeah, and who would have thought it? Because, you know, you and I are Yankee fans, and, you know, you watch some games, and when he first came on the scene, you know, the announcer said, hey, look, this is a guy that has a great glove. Just, you know, he really can't hit. And, you know, I accepted it. But then you watch this guy play every day. And he's just, you know, big at-bats after big at-bats. And then you look at his, you know, his minor league numbers. And they weren't terrible. You know, I don't know why they say he can't. I guess just, you know, his first few years in the major leagues wasn't very successful at the plate. But, God, he really has some big hits for the Yankees. Where would they be without him?
Yeah, he's hitting .349, just 2 homers, but 13 RBIs. He's just really had some clutch hits for them. So He's certainly a guy that you can roster on fantasy teams for now. The Yankees have been using him as much as they can. Andujar DH last night, he went 1-for-4. Torres 1-for-3 last night with an RBI. And Gary Sanchez, 2 more hits. A run scored LeMahieu, Voit with the hits. And on the Rays side, as you said, Austin Meadows, 2-for-4. The two ribbies, he had the home run off of Herman. Choi with a solo homer off of Herman. So outside of that, that's really the totality of the Rays scoring. But Yanks win, big one, 4-3. You mentioned the Brew Crew, and I want to get there because they blanked the Cubs yesterday. 7-0. As you mentioned, Gio Gonzalez, his first win of the year. He goes 5 2/3, 3 walks, 3 Ks, only the 2 hits. So he kept it relatively clean there. Guerra with a hold, Claudio with a hold, but it was a 7-0 blowout for the Brew Crew. Jose Quintana takes the loss. He went 6 2/3, giving up 3 runs, 4 hits, 3 walks. So let's see. On the hitting side of things, Christian Yelich, a hit and a run scored. Ryan Braun had a big home run there yesterday, and he goes 1-for-4, 2 runs, and an RBI scored. Yasmani Grandal, former near Met, 2-for-4. 2 ribbies yesterday. Aguiar, 1-for-3 with a couple of RBIs yesterday. So Brew Crew just continue to play good baseball. They're 8 games over 500.
Yeah, and a lot of us had thought the NL East would be the division to watch. And, you know, it's still early, but when you look at this central division in the NL, now you have the Cubbies and the Brewers in a virtual tie for first place.
That's right.
The Cardinals a game and a half back, and even the Pirates a game over 500 and 3.5 back. But Brewers, I tell you, you can't, what Josh Hader has done for this bullpen as well should be brought up. This guy could get you pitch multiple innings for a save. Travis Shaw has been real. Yeah. Travis Shaw, just a side note, won't be playing this weekend. Really been slumping. And I think the Cubbies are putting out the lefty pitching, which he has had a hard time pitching against. But Brewers are a fun team to watch, you know, with the offense and Yelich. And
they're
getting
fun
it
players.
Done.
Lorenzo Cain, Christian Yelich.
Oh,
you know, Mike
how many
Moustakas.
Home runs has he robbed this year?
It's crazy.
Cain, right?
Yeah. Yeah, he really, I've said this before on the show, he's one of my favorite players to watch. Mm-hmm. He's a little bit throwback. Like we said, he gets you a lot of steals. He can hit for average. He's got a little bit of pop. He's only hitting .248 right now, but he's a little bit of a throwback player. He's the kind of player that we saw a little bit more of when I was kind of growing up, you know, all-around players. He's not a big swing for the defensive kind of guy. He's a legitimate, well-rounded baseball player.
Absolutely. And like, we as I alluded to, just his defense, there are 2 or 3 plays that stand out, just that you watch, replays after the game, just where he's corralled balls that should have been home runs. And he just, that's a big part of the game.
Yeah. He and Jackie Bradley Jr. battling for most home runs, Rob, but JBJ did the other night in Baltimore.
Oh, my goodness, yeah.
Absurd. Trey Mancini robbing him of a home run. He got as high up over the wall as I've seen anybody do it in a while. So we'll come back. We'll talk more baseball. We'll get into that NL Central a little bit, maybe that NL early NL playoff picture if Joe thinks all 3 teams from the Central can get to the postseason. So it's Mike and Joe. We'll be back talking more baseball on this Mother's Day weekend on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Hit us up on Twitter at FNTSY Radio. We'll be right back.
From the NFL to the NBA, DailyRoto.com is the place to win millions in daily fantasy. You can get the best DFS NFL coverage all season long for a price of $129.99 or dominate the entire daily fantasy sports realm with the Elite Package at $59.99 per month. If you use the promo code FNTSY, you get 10% off your Daily Roto package. Go to DailyRoto.com, pick your NFL or Elite Package, enter promo code FNTSY, and you'll be on your way to becoming the next Daily Roto millionaire.
Thank you. back to FST Saturday Morning Edition. Hope you all are enjoying Mother's Day weekend. Big plans. As I said, my mom was had to go visit my mom in the hospital yesterday, but it looks like she's coming home today. So we're going to be having a good Mother's Day weekend regardless. It appears to be nothing particularly serious. And Joe, I know you have something interesting planned with your wife. Now, you have two children, correct?
Yes. Yes, I do.
Little ones. Yours are a little older than mine.
Oh, yeah. My daughter is 21. My son is 23. He happens to be he's not going to be home for Mother's Day, the son of a gun. He's in California with some buddies. Went to the Dodgers game last night. But
so jealous.
Me. Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
I've never been to Shabazz Ravine.
Me neither. And we went to California about 7 years ago as a family. Went to San Diego Comic-Con and spent some time in San Diego, obviously, and L.A. L.A. was out of town. But we visited San Diego's Petco Park. And yeah, it's pretty nice because they weren't home as well, which is odd. But you could go throughout the back of the stadium and actually just hang out. They let you in where you could sit in like a little grassy area. And it's a really beautiful stadium.
Yeah, it's funny. If you walk over to Camden Yards, like when there's nothing going on, honestly, you could just easily walk in there. Now, when I was there last year, it was like during the off season. So there's a little area there where they have the statues of Brooks Robinson and Frank Robinson and Cal Ripken way in center field. But honestly, I could just step over the railing and like walk into the stadium. I could have sat there. There was probably a security guard or a groundskeeper that would have kicked me out, but I didn't feel the need to do it. So I just didn't do it, but you could easily walk in there. But I guess it's good that you can kind of tour those places, but maybe you and I one day we'll get our Shabazz Ravine. Your whippersnapper of a son is there before he's 24 years old, though.
A couple of years ago he went to San Francisco and he went to see the Giants play, and you know, he texted me.
I have been to that stadium.
Yeah, he says it's beautiful. He likes that better than Dodger Stadium or whatnot. But
I've heard the Dodger Stadium is just a really nice setting to go see the game. Now, San Francisco probably trumps that, but you know, L.A.'s scenery where the stadium is allegedly beautiful. I just have never seen it in person. A friend of mine who is an actor and a diehard Cubs fan says Dodgers games are great. You just it's everything that you've heard about. People show up late and leave early. They're there for four or five innings, and you got to deal with it. So,
I tell you, one person who doesn't do that is Mary Hart, formerly of Entertainment Tonight. Whenever I watch a Dodgers game on TV, she's locked in right behind home plate, and she's in on every pitch. You know,
good for her.
So I tip my cap to her. But in
you
terms
have
of
her on
what
here.
Would
should have her on here, get a Dodgers breakdown.
Absolutely. But as far as what we're doing tomorrow, which is kind of like odd and out of the box, my wife has always wanted to visit a gun range and shoot a gun, legally, of course. So tomorrow.
In a controlled environment.
Exactly.
Where there's no people around, just at Targets.
You got it. So tomorrow, oddly enough, Mother's Day, I'll be on the air from 8 to 11. But from there, we're going to travel to this gun range in New Jersey. Me, my wife, and my daughter are going to go and rent whatever firearm she wants in a controlled setting, of course. And she'll be shooting some ammunition.
I've had some friends that have done that kind of stuff, like target shooting and that kind of stuff. They said it's a lot of fun.
Yeah. Yeah, I haven't done it in like 20 or 30 years because I had a friend that owned guns, you know, legally and whatnot. And there's a place out in Long Island near where near Nassau Coliseum. I don't know if it's still there, but we used to go there. But should be fun. Just as long as she doesn't take a picture of my face and put it on the target that she's shooting at.
Don't hold
your
breath, Joe.
So it'll be an interesting day. Yes. Yes.
Could happen. So, whatever gets her through the night.
It's her day.
Happy, exactly. It's a happy Mother's Day to her. But that's cool. It's different. It's different.
Yes.
I don't think my wife would do that. I don't think that's her bag. But She honestly wanted to spend the whole day solo by herself today, just do a little shopping, maybe get some nails done.
Well, she deserves it. She's earned it.
I agree. She's got two little kids, and she works, and I'm trying my best to get it done. Little family complications this week, but I'm trying my best to get her out. She went out to dinner with some friends last night, so I try to give her her space for the weekend, because I think that's my wife's biggest challenge. Is that she doesn't get a lot of space. She's got two little kids, and anybody out there with two little kids understands that mom is the winner. Like, yes. they are into mom as much as they're into me. Mom is the primary parent. Do you know what I mean? That's just the way it is when the kids are little. So, she doesn't get a lot of space. Whenever she's sitting around in the house, both kids kind of want to be on her lap. So it can be claustrophobic at times, and I think getting some time out by herself will be interesting. So let's move on to another heartwarming story, and that Mike Trout, this guy is awesome. So Mike Trout, last night, I'll set it up. Eddie Matz, ESPN senior writer. Says 90 minutes for the L.A. Angels series opener against the Baltimore Orioles on Friday night. 7-year-old superfan Gavin Edelson asked his favorite player to hit a homer for him. Trout, who had gone deep just once in his previous 17 games, responded by telling the youngster, "I need to hit a home run tonight." And then he went out and he hit yard. And he went yard. So Mike Trout sent a 3-2 fastball from O-star to Dan Straley over the wall in left center. The towering shot, which had a launch angle of 38 degrees and didn't clear the fence by much, looked as though it might be caught by Baltimore center fielder Stevie Wilkerson, but he missed it. So Gavin Edelson, who apparently dresses like Mike Trout every day, got his call, made his call to Mike Trout, and Mike Trout goes out and hits that home run. They win 8-3. Tommy La Stella hit a run. Mike Trout goes 2-for-4 last night, 2 runs scored. 3 RBIs. That was a 2-run homer that he had. Andrelton Simmons. I hope I had him in the lineup last night. Oh, man. I think I took him out, Joe. I'm checking right now. I'm checking right now.
That's the dangers of these. Where we could set up a lineup every day, right?
I know.
Because, you know, let's say if he was off on Thursday,
he was in.
You get to put him back. All right.
He was in.
Yep.
Clutch. 4-for-5, 2 ribbies, and 2 runs scored. Simmons has been amazing this year.
Absolutely.
308.
Yep. And you know what? He's been a very nice hitter over his career. Overall, 270 batting average for his career last year, 11 home runs, 10 RBIs. So, you know, a nice, more of a middle infielder. But you could, you know, in a deeper league, you could use him at the shortstop. And I think our league is a 14-team league, so that's fairly deep. But,
and we have two utility spots. He's my guy that I'm rotating in and out of utility and shortstop. Bring him out, bring him in. Lately, I've been mostly leaving him in because Jurickson Profar fell out of a boat. Mm-hmm. So he's been better as of late, but he's been brutal. But Simmons has been really good, so another big game for him. But the legend of Mike Trout grows with this call of the home run, Joe.
Absolutely, and I was watching, you know, a little recap of the game on MLB Network, and they showed Trout, you know, signing some stuff for the kid that you were talking about, and he, you know, they showed the video where he said, "Hey, I better hit a home run tonight." And the video I was watching, you know, had a split screen where you could see Trout hitting the home run and the reaction from the kid that he had signed all the paraphernalia for. It was really heartwarming to see. You know, a guy like Trout, one of the faces of Major League Baseball, realizing he has a fan base that, you know, looks up to him. And it was just heartwarming, like you mentioned to start off the segment, that he takes that into account. And, you look at his numbers. I think he's batting, 292 with 8 home runs. People think, well, what the heck is wrong with Trout? You know, when he's not batting 330, you're wondering what the heck is wrong with him. But nice to see.
Yeah. Cahill gets the win last night. He's 2-3 on the season. Straley, the loss, drops to 1-3. As far as things on the side of the Orioles, Trey Mancini goes yard last night. I was just mentioning how JBJ, Jackie Bradley Jr., saved a home run from him the other night, robbed a home run from him the other night. But Mancini, in general, 326, and that's his 7th home run of the season.
Yeah, I own him in a couple of leagues. He's a guy that, you know, I've been following, you know, for a couple of years. You know, I used to write a prospects column for the Roto Experts, and he was a guy, if you look at his minor league numbers, you know, high batting average, hit for power. So it's really not surprising that he is coming to his own. And, you know, one of the bright spots for the Orioles, you know, not a guy that you build a team around, but no. Once the Orioles get better, he's going to be a really nice piece of the puzzle. You know, who knows? Maybe, you know, if they really decide, I mean, they're obviously in a full-blown rebuild mode. It might be a guy that they move, pick up a couple of, you know, decent prospects. But for now, you know, keep him in your lineup.
Plus, he's got a nice Italian last name, Joe. I think it's a little bit of boost for you.
Absolutely, yes.
Tommy La Stella, Trey Mancini playing against another last night. You get a whole lineup.
My own.
So anyway, so that's it for A's, Angels, Orioles, 8-3. Back to the NL Central for a minute, because we talked about that in the last segment. So you have these three teams that are really battling here. I think anybody would tell you that these, certainly the Cubs and Milwaukee, they're in the elite teams in the league. You know, they're kind of top level of teams in the league. St. Louis obviously playing right there with them. Now, the Dodgers have the best record in, I'm just double checking, best record in the entire league right now? Yeah, no.
In the NL. The Twins. I think in the entire league is the Twins, yes. Mm-hmm.
Which is crazy to think of, but, you know, we knew it was coming at some point for the Twins. So, the Dodgers at 26-15, and then the Cubs and Milwaukee, it's a first-place battle this weekend. And Milwaukee takes the first one. We'll see what happens the rest of the weekend. But how would you expect these NL teams to shake out? Dodgers to win the West, who wins the Central, who wins the East, and give me your playoff teams. And you know, we're 6 weeks in, but I'm just curious if it's playing out the way you anticipated.
Dodgers, I think, are going to hold on and win the division. Interesting to see Arizona hanging in there.
Yes.
And it's pretty cool to see San Diego over 500. And when you look at their roster, you know, they obviously Machado gave them, you know, maybe gave them an underlying boost, you know, made them believe in themselves, showed that the ownership is looking to build a winner. And when you look at the Padres, you know, what Franmil Reyes has been doing lately as well is out of sight. The power that he's put and hitting for average, a lot of moving parts in that outfield. But Franmil Reyes really, you know, shining there. He went 3-for-5 last night, batting .275 on the year. But this Central, I really can't pick a winner, because it's just too tight. The NL East, one thing I find interesting is now the Mets, there's been some talk about, you know, Mickey Callaway's job, manager Mickey Matt Callaway, his job being in jeopardy.
I don't think there's one person that's been impressed with what he's done since he came over.
Right. And the next week or so,
I think he was on shaky ground going in. And if they continue to remain below 500 and nobody can hit, then I think it's going to be his job.
These next few series, very important, because they're playing the Marlins this weekend. And then I forget who the next series is, but then they play the Tigers. So, you know, this is going
to
be almost like
a
do or die. Yeah, for Callaway. So, look, you know, and the Nationals, man, look at the Nationals have really been slumping as well. So, the NL East, look, probably
the Mets did win 11-2 last night, to their credit. So maybe they get a sweep out of the Marlins.
Yeah. That's what you have to do. You have to beat the bad teams. Look,
so the interesting thing early about these teams is the Dodgers are they the highest? The highest run differential in the league is Tampa right now. +58. You got a few other teams around +50. The Dodgers are the highest in the National League, along with the Cubs at +50 run differential. Milwaukee's all the way down at +9, despite the fact that they're virtually tied with the Cubs. Mm-hmm. St. Louis back up to +25. But the real disparity here, the Dodgers are 11 games over 500. Arizona, 5. They're only 3 games back. But the run differential for the Dodgers is +50 and Arizona +17. You're saying the Padres are over 500? Yes, but currently at a run differential of -9. Now, we are looking at a somewhat limited sample, but we're still 6 weeks in. the numbers would tell you that the Padres would probably remain right around there at 500 or slightly below it with that kind of run differential. And the Dodgers, if they continue to build upon that, would pull away from most teams, you know, if they continue to be plus 50, plus 100, whatever it is by the end of the year.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not expecting the Padres to win the division, but look, they are making strides. So, and you look at their starting pitching staff as well. You know, I know we talked about, you know, innings limitations on Domingo Germán, and there might be some innings limitations on some of the Padres starters with, like, Matt Stram and Chris Paddock. But, look, they've got a nice base, a nice nucleus from which to build Padres. And that's a good point that you bring. The run differential definitely has to be taken into consideration. But I do see the Dodgers holding on.
Agreed. So, you know, Joe and I talked off air whether or not we should talk about what he's doing tomorrow for Mother's Day. And I think we do it, and we did it because it's in fun, and I think it's a really unique thing, and I think it's hilarious and awesome that your wife wants to do that. We're not bringing those types of topics up to be insensitive, because we understand there was yet another school shooting earlier this week, the third in Colorado that I can remember, Columbine. There was another shooting in a movie theater in Aurora, Colorado. I've been to those places often. It's unbelievable to see these things. You become desensitized to it. I know I'm becoming desensitized to it, except for the fact that I have two little kids and it scares the hell out of me. So I just want to say that we were not bringing up those topics to be insensitive. We understand the tragedy that took place, and he and I both having had children actively dealing with little kids and children that aren't that much older, send our thoughts and prayers out to that.
Absolutely.
I don't know if the thoughts and
Absolutely.
Prayers even matter anymore, but we're doing our best, and we're trying to keep it light here, but we felt it is needed for us to mention that. So it is Mother's Day weekend. We're going to try and celebrate. We'll have fun with football after the break. So Joe and I'll be back on FST, the Saturday edition, on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.